This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Thursday, I did something I never did before in this part of what I do, which was I host a teletown hall. And I was asked to do that by Congressional District 2 candidate Eric Rudin. And let's bring Eric on the phone. Good morning, Eric. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Chris. Good.
That was an interesting experience. Neither of you or I have ever done a teletown hall. I thought it was, I was kind of blown away by the amount of people who actually engaged with it. I don't know how many, I wasn't like, how many people really do this thing? And it was way more than I thought.
Yeah, it was actually kind of shocking. Technology is pretty advanced, you know, with something on the fly. You know, you have a vendor come in and they put it all together. But we had 1,100 people on the line throughout the call, and kind of shocking how efficient that system is. But it's a good way, you know, when you can't go out and talk to people, that kind of a creative solution to be able to talk to the voters. So it was kind of a fun experience, to be honest.
If we were sitting in a room that had 1,100 people to do a town hall, we'd be like, holy cow, that's pretty wild.
That would be wild. that would be definitely a big space. But, you know, we managed the chaos and did it. You know, there were a couple technical hiccups where I knew just a couple people didn't quite get in and on time on that. But that's something we're going to work on and improve. So next time we do this, it goes just a little bit more efficient. But overall, very pleased with the results, being able to talk to the folks.
It's kind of the idea of where we're talking about kind of we're in the middle of this COVID thing and the reopening of America and Arizona. What did you get as a sense from the listeners, from the callers?
I think people have reasonable concern out on the street, but I also believe people are pretty pragmatic. I love the content of your show this morning. Because, you know, you're actually starting to apply some numbers, and, you know, I'm a numbers wonk, and, I look at these models, and the IHME from Washington is a big one that seems to influence our governor, and they don't make any sense. quite frankly, the data is trash. And so it's kind of interesting that you're starting to hear the doctors that you're playing this morning. You have the Stanford study coming out saying in San Jose that this has been out for a while. So we're starting to see some conflicting information. It goes against the narrative, but the fact of the matter is overall, I think society's probably in a pretty good place compared to where we thought this thing could go. So that's the positive news. Now, the second part is, you know, how do we recover from this mess? And that's what we need to focus at this point.
So if you were going to offer 2 to 3 steps to recovering quicker than maybe people are saying, What would you suggest, Eric Rudin?
Well, I don't object to the phase-in plan that Trump has proposed and some of these governors, but we're at the phase 1 stage. We should be opening quickly. And I think we need to start looking at just some creative solutions. And we have to rely on two groups that the government seems to forget are out there. One group is the consumer. As a consumer, if you're still concerned, you can still stay home and you can be safe. You don't have to go out. And if a business isn't following any social guidelines or mitigation, you can choose not to go to that business. And, you know, and if you're a responsible consumer and a responsible business owner, and you're a business, let's say a restaurant that decides, hey, I'm going to open, I'm going to have people come into my dining room, maybe we sit every other table. You know, I think every restaurant has a certificate of occupancy, and you say, well, instead of having, you know, 75 people in the restaurant, that we're going to have 35, 40 people, and we're going to seat every other table. You know, people can make some common sense decisions within their own operations. So I think there needs to be more freedom for the entrepreneur, the business person, the consumer to make their own choices. This pinch-faced bureaucrat academia decision making is not doing well for many people, and we don't even see the negative effects of this, which no one's going to report on when you talk about suicide rates, drug rates, depression, and all the negative effects that come with isolation and not being able to do things that you're normally wanting to do as a human being.
It's interesting, the 162nd Wing Air National Guard put on their Facebook page a thing about their COVID-19 alert was that suicide rates in Pima County are up. This is according to the Air National Guard. So there is something going on in relation to the psychological and other effects of medical effects of everyone being trapped in their homes.
Absolutely. There's, you know, when you start, I think last week you were going into death statistics, you know, and had 10 other categories that were higher than COVID is.
Right.
And that's something we need to be concerned about. And the other part about this COVID thing, which I don't think our lawmakers are particularly looking at, because let's be honest, politicians can't see a year in advance to save their life on anything they do and understand the long-term ramifications. But you talk about insolvency of Social Security and Medicare. Think about how impacted those programs are going to be. You know, when you lose your sales tax revenue here locally, you know, when you're talking about local programs for seniors, you know, what's going to happen there? You know that you're going to have a lot of industries, housing market that's going to end up having some struggles after this. You start looking, obviously, travel and tourism. Yes, you're going to have the cheap flights, but at the same time, can the hotel actually survive without an income coming in and having to give everything away just to attract people? But there's industries, there's businesses, there's government operations that are going to be affected for a couple of years from this. And, man, lawmakers are going to have a really tough time dealing with some of the choices we made, because I think we've made a lot of, well, we'll just say poor choices.
What stance are you taking as a campaign right now in the midst of this? A lot of people just seem to be freezing. What's your take right now?
Well, as a campaign, we've been on a full run and doing a lot of things. We're going to have an announcement later this week. It's going to be pretty powerful. But when we talk about the campaign response, we've had to shift our messaging because, you know, our messaging was more of the conventional issues that were coming out. And I really believe that the single greatest issue facing Southern Arizonans is going to be post-COVID recovery. Let's be honest, a lot of people have been put out of jobs. You know, if you're talking, you know, the payroll protection program, a lot of people didn't get those funds. Even when we talk about unemployment, while it sounds like a good deal on the surface, the fact of the matter is a lot of people still can't even get unemployment because they can't even process all the claims. It's going to be a situation that there's going to be a lot of people that are feeling the pinch, feeling the hurt on this, and we're going to have to really work to try to get the economy moving. I don't believe there's going to be a switch that we can click on just because the fear factor is so high amongst the populace. It's not like we're going to say tomorrow, hey, you can go back to work, and everybody's going to feel really good about it. The fact is the recovery is going to be a very slow recovery, and then lawmakers, whether you're at the state, local, or federal level, you're going to be like, well, we got to deal with the ramifications of the huge shortfalls of revenue. And then people are going to be talking about furloughs and cuts to government employees. They're going to be talking about not being able to make their budgets. They're going to be talking about raising taxes. They're going to be talking about a lot of topics that people are going to be really unhappy with. You know, when you blast through at the federal level, you know, $6 trillion and barely put a dent in this thing, then the next year, what are you going to say when it's budget time and you're supposed to fund all these programs? With what money? I mean,
Eric, how do people find out more about the Rudin campaign?
Well, they simply can go to Rudin for Congress. That's R-U-D-E-N for F-O-R Congress.com. And they can visit our website. They can volunteer, get involved, donate. All that information is readily available, and we can easily be found on social media as well.
All right, Eric, good talking to you, sir. Thanks for a good time Thursday. That was it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and we'll have to do it again sometime. And thanks for the excellent host duties, because I think you made it a better event for all of us. I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome, sir. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
That's Eric Rudin. Check out rudinforcongress.com for more about his campaign. And if you wish to financially contribute and help a candidate you like, that's another place to go.